Good morning, church. Happy Easter. Welcome. So glad you're here today. And I'll tell you, I'm just moved by the vulnerability and the transparency that young Gabby shared with us on that video. It's so moving. And I just hope that through the rest of this service and what I have to say, just takes from what she said and just causes us to be transparent, even in our own life, to be able to just see how God wants to do something for us. And so what a powerful moment. I want to welcome you to church today. I believe it's a powerful day for us to gather as believers on Easter Sunday. And I'm excited that you're here at Life CC, the church in the mall. And it's Easter, and so I like to try to start out with a little humor today. So I'm going to tell a joke, and you're just going to have to laugh anyway in spite of me. That would be great. But here we go. So Satan, he thought that he had defeated Jesus. He thought that he was through, he was crucified, he was put in a tomb, but Jesus, he said, "April Fools, I'm back." Come on, help me out. It's Easter, be nice. I mean, it's April 1st, you got to do something about it, you got to work at it. So, hey, if you're a guest today, hey, welcome. I'm your pastor with bad jokes today, so glad you came to be with us. We put on our walls, "Welcome Home," as Bailey mentioned earlier, because we want you to feel like you have found a home that you can be a part of, a big church family, and so we like to say welcome home. My name is Tim Blevins, by the way. My wife Harriet and I planted Life CC on Easter Sunday 2004, so this is somewhat of a mile marker for us. It looks a lot different today than it did then, but so glad you're here. I want to invite you back for next week. I want to kind of just have this is the sermon before the sermon, all right? So this is like free. You didn't pay for this one. I'm just going to give it to you. But I think that attending church is really important. And I would relate it to kind of like watering your yard. So if you water your yard once, then great. But you need to water your yard often in order for your yard to be healthy. If you come to church once, Easter Sunday, great, that's good. But if you want to have a really healthy spiritual life, you need to water that often through coming to church. And so with that in mind, I want to let you know that we have two events coming up to invite you to that will help you maybe form a new habit of coming to church. And so next week, as our first event I want to invite you back for, is Martin Luther King Jr. Day for us. So what happened was, is 50 years ago, this Wednesday, Dr. Martin Luther King was murdered. And he was supposed to be in Wilmington on the day that he was murdered. Instead, he canceled his plans and stayed home. And so there's kind of a memorial thing going on this week. But we want to take from that and use that as a way for us as a church to honor Dr. Martin Luther King and talk about how unity can be in the church and how we can take it from here out into our community. And so that'll be next week. The following event, following week, is an event for you to come back to. This is our 14-year anniversary of our church. So we want to celebrate that. We want you to come back. We'll have baptisms that day. It's going to be an exciting day. And so many things going on, and so I just want you to be a part of it. Amen, church? Amen. So let me pray, and we'll jump in today's message. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Easter and that Jesus, he so willingly took upon himself the sacrifice for us. And I thank you, God, that Jesus arose from the grave and that he's alive and he is our Savior. And we take this moment today to just give him the worship he deserves. God, I pray as I speak, though, that you would take this 30 minutes and use it to help further what you're trying to say and do today. God, I pray that you would give us the ability to have our attention set on you. Grab our imagination today that we may see you in what you're having to say. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move on the words today, that it would draw us close to you and use it for your kingdom glory. God, I thank you that your word teaches us that when two or more are gathered in your name, that your presence is here. And so, God, I know you're here, and I ask that you would use this moment to just pull to our attention the potential and the possibilities of your power here today. God, I pray for those who are doubting in some way. I pray for those that are hurting. I pray for those that are seeking. I pray for the believers, Lord, that we would embrace you today. And so I believe this today. I pray it over every soul in this house. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name that is above every other name, and the name that of the only one who died and rose again, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about doubts. Maybe you've had a bout with doubt in your life. All of us have probably had some doubts, and I love that Gabby was so vulnerable in her story today. Today I hope you'll be vulnerable and maybe admit in your life that you've struggled with some doubts, and God would use this as a way to help move us forward into belief. We're going to talk about one of the disciples that was with Jesus. All the disciples after Jesus' resurrection struggled with believing that he was back to life. And so they were struggling with it. One of them struggled more than the others, possibly. So today I want to talk to you about doubts, and I want to give you a title of my sermon that kind of offsets that. And so my title today is, There is More to Believe. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of John chapter 20. And so I have my paper today. We're going to look in Scripture today. And I want to talk to you from John chapter 20. We're going to look at 8 verses together. I'll read them to you, explain them as we go, and we'll really see what God has to say to us. Let me set up the context of this, though, first, so you'll understand kind of where we're diving into the story. You'll find there's a man named Thomas that we're going to study about. Thomas, unfortunately, was given the worst nickname ever. He was nicknamed Doubting Thomas. That'd be a terrible thing to be known as, but that's what he came to be known as. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples. So the story is kind of like this. Jesus was crucified. On Sunday, he came back to life. That Sunday evening, he appeared to the disciples in a room. Now, these disciples, in my opinion, were hiding. They were afraid. They were insecure. They weren't sure if Jesus had come back to life. And so they were hiding in this room on Sunday night. Jesus appears to them, and they're loving it. They get to see him. Thomas, though, wasn't with them. And so he missed out on seeing Jesus. And these disciples, they ran to tell him about it on the next day. And so this is where we pick up the story. In John chapter 20, verse 24, it says, Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. Now that's a pretty major thing for these disciples. If you consider the life that they had been in for the last 3 years, they had left their families. They had left their businesses. They had left everything, their homes, in order to follow Jesus. Jesus had told them that he was the Son of God and that he would die and rise again to prove that he was the Son of God. And he had said all these things to them. And everything for these disciples was hanging on the notion that he would rise again. If he didn't come back to life again, then this whole thing was of naught. But they saw Jesus, he came back, and they were excited. They were like, yes, it's true. You know, you are the Son of God. Because without the resurrection, all of this is for naught for us. Without the resurrection, the cross is pointless. It's like, why would we have the cross? Like, it would have no power in it without the resurrection. Because Jesus died on the cross, but if he was just another man and didn't come back to life, then he was just another person that died. The church would be pointless without the resurrection. Like the church, why would we be here if he was still dead? But with the resurrection, it verifies that. It gives us the point for being here. Without the resurrection, your life, it would be purposeless. What would you live for? You would just get up, go to bed, and die one day, and that would be it. But he came back to life, and so these disciples were so excited that they had seen Jesus, and so they went looking for Thomas to tell him. In verse 24, it picks up. It says, Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And so it says, these other disciples said, We have seen the Lord. Now in verse 25, it says, But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hands into his side, he said, I will not believe. He said, I'm just not going to believe it until I see it. Let me ask you, how do you feel about what Thomas said? I mean, if you had been in his shoes, would you have been quick to believe without seeing? Would you have been one of those that wanted to give him a nickname, you know, Doubting Thomas, you didn't believe? How do you feel about what he said. Because honestly, we've all had doubts. I believe doubts are kind of normal. Maybe you're here today and you have doubts. Maybe you're doubting whether or not you can trust Jesus in the middle of something that's going on in your life. Maybe you're doubting whether or not Jesus wants to help heal your marriage. Maybe you're doubting whether or not Jesus would heal your body. Maybe you're doubting God, his existence. Maybe you're doubting the church. Maybe you've been around church life enough to know that sometimes churches injure people, wound people, and you're like, I'm not sure I want to be around a church. Maybe you've heard that the pastor tells bad jokes, and you're like, I don't want to go to church. Maybe you're doubting Jesus. Maybe you're like Thomas, and you're kind of having your doubts. Well, church, I have doubts. We all have doubts. I have doubts. I doubt myself sometimes. My insecurities and my lack of self-confidence squeeze out through my self-appointed Superman logo. Because I have doubts. But I don't just doubt myself, because that's probably pretty normal. We all probably doubt ourselves. But sometimes I even doubt God. Sometimes I doubt things in my life. Now, I don't doubt my salvation, but I doubt trusting God sometimes in my everyday life. Now, I hope that didn't just ruin your Easter. Like, why are we here at this church if this pastor doubts? Like, let's find somebody else to put up there that can tell a better story, a better joke, and maybe doesn't doubt. But we've all had our doubts. I hope it doesn't bother you that your pastor struggles with having a firm and an unstoppable belief and in faith in all circumstances and in all certain situations. To be honest with you, I land as a pretty optimistic person. If you hang around me, I'm going to be pretty happy all the time. If you hang around me, I'm going to say to you somewhere along the way, the best is yet to come, you know. I'm going to tell you the glass is half full, and I'm cheerful. I have this little bubble that I live in, my happy place bubble. I'm just pretty good. I can just kind of exist happy all the time. I just roll along. But there are some times when situations and circumstances present themselves that are beyond my little happy place spot, and these crises and these big decisions kind of show up, and with it comes doubts in my life. I have to find a way to believe in the promises and trust Jesus when doubt presents itself. So if you doubt, church, if you're here today and you have doubts, hey, I just want to say, hey, welcome to normal Christianity. We doubt. We have doubts. For Thomas, the situation that presented itself in front of him was more than his faith box could handle. In his experience, almost all the people except Lazarus stayed dead after they died. And so he was struggling with that. But I think that Thomas wanted to believe. I don't think Thomas was closed off to believing. I think he wanted to believe. He said this. He said, unless I see, unless I can touch the nail marks, unless I can touch his side of his feet, unless. You see, he wasn't saying that he would never believe. He wasn't saying that he was completely closed off and he was in complete unbelief. He was looking for a reason to believe. He's like, unless something happened. He needed a nudge in the right direction. And so, church, I want to share something with you that has helped me a lot when it comes to doubt. And this is this one thought. Doubt is not my final decision. Doubt's not my final decision. That's not the dead end of my doubt is not the dead end of my life here. Let me show you by an illustration. So I have this illustration with three circles here. In the middle is doubt. On the far right is unbelief. On the left is belief. There are two arrows. And what this means is that doubt is a decision point. When you're in doubt, you can either lean into unbelief or you can make a decision to lean into belief. See, one of the things that most people think is that doubt is the opposite of belief. Doubt is not the opposite of belief. Unbelief is the opposite of belief. Doubt sits as a decision point. So for you, you are at a decision point in your place of doubt. So maybe you start leaning in going, well, I don't think God will ever help me in this situation, and you move into unbelief. I don't think and trust Jesus in my situation. I don't think Jesus wants me healed. And so some people move into unbelief. For me, I'm at a decision point in my life, in my place of doubt. And fortunately, doubt isn't the final decision. It's when I make a decision, say, well, I choose to believe. You see, for me, doubt still has hope in it. Doubt still has possibility and potential in it. Doubt isn't the worst thing in the world. You see, this helped me so much because I used to think that doubt was the opposite of belief, and I felt like a terrible Christian for doubting and a terrible pastor for doubting. Like, I thought doubt was the opposite of belief, and so if I was in doubt, how could I help anybody? How could I even stand on the platform and preach the gospel with doubts? Because I thought it was unbelief. It's not unbelief. It's just a decision place. It's a place to say, God, in spite of these circumstances, I choose to believe. In verse 26, it says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. I think that's kind of noteworthy. Thomas was with this time. Like, he missed the first party. Like, the disciples got together. I don't know, maybe they didn't invite him. I don't know what the story was, but he didn't make this small group of the disciples that day. So now that they've said he's alive, he's like, I'm not missing this one. He's like, I'm there. I'm in the house. I'm waiting. I want to see. So it says a week later, the disciples were in the house. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Now, that would naturally be what you would want to hear. If your doors are locked and Jesus shows up visibly, you'd be freaking out. You'd be like, wow! And he's like, chill out. It's me, Jesus. I'm here. Peace be with you. You know, the Bible makes it nice and pretty. Don't you know? He was like, you know, chill, dudes. It's me. You know, I don't know how he said it, but peace be with you is what the Bible says. Verse 27 says, then he said to Thomas, he said, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. And he said, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting. He's like, you're doubting. You're at a decision point. Stop doubting. This isn't the last stop. You have a decision to make. Stop doubting and believe. And believe. Now, I took my counseling lessons from Jesus. Now, if y'all need counseling, some of you need somebody to sit with you and talk through your process and to help you, and you need someone to sit an hour with you and you can pour out your heart and say, they can help you, you need to call Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim's our counselor, and he's good. He'll talk to you. He'll straighten it all out in your head and your heart, and he'll work you through it, and he'll massage your heart along the way. You'll know he loves you and cares for you. It's awesome because he takes his time. You come to counseling for me, I'm going to listen long enough to I hear what's wrong, and I'm going to say like Jesus did, stop it. Whatever you're doing wrong, stop that. So I took my cues from Jesus, and so I feel like I'm justified in my short counseling sessions. But Jesus said, stop it. He said, stop doubting. He said, stop doubting and believe. Thomas saw Jesus. He touched his wounds. He had the ability to experience him. And from there, he began to believe. But I don't think this statement to Jesus, to Thomas about stop doubting and believe was about his current doubts. I think he said, stop doubting and believe was for his future doubts. Because soon, Jesus would ascend into the right hand of the Father, and the disciples would be filled with the Spirit, but they would be commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to start the church. And I think Jesus knew that they were going to face circumstances that were outside of their box of faith currently, and Jesus wouldn't be there physically for them to reach back and see him and touch him, and they would need to learn to have faith without seeing him. They would need to trust Jesus without touching Jesus. So what Thomas needed to know and what you and I need to know is that faith is believing when there isn't evidence to support it. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So it's teaching us that faith is about believing without seeing. It's about not having evidence to support it, but in spite of it, we begin to believe. Honestly, there's going to be times that evidence is going to be supporting the negative. Sometimes the evidence is saying no when God is saying yes, and you're going to have to be able to believe without the evidence in front of you. Church, listen, the triumph of mine in your life isn't that we don't doubt. like, I'm not going to teach you today how to never doubt again, because it's just normal that you're going to doubt again. So I don't want to try to teach you that. What I want to teach you is that the triumph of our faith is that in the hardest moments of life, the times that I don't understand, the times that I can't make sense of it all, the times that I can't prove it, I choose to believe anyway. So if you're taking notes, second note for you today is believing is a choice. Believing is a choice. You can make a decision to believe in Jesus without proof. You can make a choice, a decision to trust Jesus in the hardest times of your life. Because belief comes from revelation in your heart and a decision in your mind. Belief doesn't come from evidence that you see. It comes from a decision that you make within. And this is confirmed in verse 28. Thomas said to Jesus, he said, "My Lord, my God." So he had seen him, touched him, and he was saying, "Oh, you really are the Son of God. It's true." And honestly, he began to worship him. But Jesus said to him, he said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you touched me, you believed." But this is so powerful. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus was speaking to Thomas, but he was really looking past Thomas to you and I. It's kind of like when a mom has several kids and she's going to correct one, but might as well get the rest of them at the same time. And she's telling one, but she gathers around the rest of them to hear it. And so she's kind of correcting one, but they all got to get in on it. Well, this is what Jesus was doing. He was talking to Thomas, but he was looking past Thomas to you and I. He was looking past them because he was saying there's going to come a day when people are going to have to believe in Jesus without seeing him. Jesus knew there would be generations of people to follow Thomas, who would believe in him for salvation without seeing. You see, we're the those in this statement. It says, blessed are those. You're the those. We're the those. And so, write this down. Believing in Jesus is for you. See, Jesus wrote that, said that, it was written for us, so that we would believe. It was for you. It was for you and I. You don't have to see him to believe in him. Someone needs to kind of hear this thought for this today. If you're here, just lean in. The Bible wasn't just about a history lesson. It is God indisputably speaking to you today. Because Jesus arose from the grave. A week later, he's talking to Thomas. But what he's doing is he's looking past Thomas. He's looking all the way to 2018. He's looking to a church meeting in the mall on Easter Sunday 2018. And he knows there's going to be people sitting in an auditorium and they're going to be struggling with doubts and struggling with to believe and trust Jesus. And so he sent that message all the way from then, all the way to now, to speak directly to your heart, to tell you that if you will trust him and believe him before you see it, he says, "I'll bless you in it." You can trust him in it. He'll meet you at your moment. He met young Gabby in that video in her moment. She was struggling in an area and he said, "I'm there." Like, he chases you down. There isn't a mountain he won't climb for you if you'll just believe in him. He will never fail you if you'll believe in him. And in verse 30-31, it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Verse 31 says, but these are written. So it's saying these stories are written so that you may believe in Jesus. All of this was written. The story of Thomas was written for you and I so that we may choose to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. These things were written. The story of Thomas was written because there would be people struggling today with doubts in their hearts. And Jesus wants us to be able to take this story, put our life in it, and go, man, he was speaking to me all the way from then, and this is for me now. And it says, if you choose to believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. And that's what he's speaking to you and I today. Whatever situation you're in, he's saying, stop doubting, believe. There's life there. If you don't know me today, stop doubting, believe. Because when you believe in Jesus, you have life. You'll be completely forgiven. You'll be full of hope. You'll have purpose in your life. And that's what Jesus wants for all of us. And so this is a decision. I put it on the screen for us together. We're going to read this because this is the declaration. This is the decision we can make. Remember that doubt isn't your final decision. It is a point of decision. And this is the decision you can make today. Let's read this all out loud together. 1, 2, 3. I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for my sin and rose again as my Lord and Savior. That's what the choice is for us. And so we're going to take this last few moments in this service to give everyone an opportunity to choose Jesus, to choose him today, and to make a decision. At your seat, we put this connection card that Bailey referenced earlier. Would you do me a favor? Would everyone please pull this out? This is actually a place for us to make a decision together, and I want to explain some things on this. But you can fill out that top part. And there are four boxes as a place of decision. In a minute, I'll give you a chance to check one of these boxes, but let me explain them to you. The first says, I'm already in a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been serving the Lord, and you're here today, and you're thankful for Easter, and you're thankful that Jesus died and rose for your salvation, and so you could check that box. The second line says, I'm making a first-time decision to follow Jesus. For some of you today, that's your box. Too often we make this too hard. In our minds, we set up mountains too big to give our life to Christ and to believe in him. We start thinking that there are certain hoops we have to go through. Maybe we have to clean up some part of our life before we can give our life to Christ. Maybe you're thinking, I've got to quit this and stop that. And you know what? All Jesus wants you to do is today is make a decision to believe. Just make a decision to believe. And so I'll give you a chance to check that. Some of you here are going to stay in that place of doubt. You're going to say, I'd like to consider it a bit longer first. I'm just not quite ready. And if that's where you are, you can check that box. Some of you may check, I don't ever intend to make that decision. Maybe you're that person that's already gone to unbelief, and you just said, that's just where I'm at. My friends made me come, so I came. And I'm not here to pick on you. What I want to do is to give everyone a chance, though, that wants to make that decision to follow Christ this moment. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to lead us through a salvation prayer. And for you that are ready to make that first-time decision, this is for you today. So let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for this amazing service we've had in your presence. And I pray, God, that throughout this service that people have began to almost like warm up to making a decision. And this would be that moment, God. Maybe we watched the video and we were captivated by the love that you had for Gabby and now that you would have that for us. Maybe there are people here that's been struggling with doubt and all of a sudden they realize, I can make a decision. I can make this decision today to follow him, and I'll have this life. And so with every head bowed, I wonder if there are people here that are ready to make that decision. We're going to say a prayer together out loud. And if this is your moment to make that decision, this prayer is sealing that. This prayer is that moment you can look back to and say, I prayed a prayer of salvation. And so this is a significant moment for many. Let's all pray this out loud together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He died for my sins, and he rose again. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. I choose Jesus to be my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Church, would you clap because you know people have made a decision today. Amazing. Amazing.